Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. Excuse me, my name is Terry Tackett, and now it is my privilege to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Well, hello, Terry.
I almost forgot.
You know what? I'll tell you what.
I've said that a million times, and I still... Oh.
I'll tell you what. I was listening to a archive show the other day, and it was really kind of funny because it was back when we first started. Uh-huh. And I think that you called it, Pastor at Community Fellowship, yeah. Pastor at Christian Community.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But you know what? We got it. We got it down. We're
yes,
all good.
Yes,
we're all
yes,
good.
Yes.
Hey, if you want to call in tonight, I'd be glad to hear from you. Take a prayer request or so if you have them. Hey, don't miss the opportunity to allow someone to come alongside you and pray for a situation that you need. So if you get a chance, call in. You guys know the number here is 7403-39944. It hadn't changed in 6 years. So anyway, call in if you get a chance. And if you've got anything to say, just call in. Anyway, so I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, and prayerfully Bible-obedient church. We have a lot of programs going on with youth and elderly, and we just enjoy ourselves. Sunday, we do have a service at 10:30, of course, Bible studies an hour prior to that. And we have midweek services. We have prayer and Bible study, Sunday night Bible study. A lot of kids programs going on. We're doing a lot of outreach this summer. Beginning for those of you in Prospect, in the Prospect area, beginning on June 3rd. Yeah, I got the date right. June 3rd through August 8th, we will be having a free meal from every day through Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday during the week for kids, school-age kids, and for adults 60 and above. So that's free. Just come to the church, 209 East Water Street, and we'd be glad to give you lunch. Let us know. Call ahead of time at 740-494-2222 if you want something gluten-free, so we will know to make something special in that way, or any needs as far as special diet goes.
Pastor, give them those dates again, if you don't
those
mind.
Dates are June 3rd through August 8th. It'll be from 11:30 to 1 o'clock, well, it's 11:30 in the morning to 1 o'clock. And
that's at the church, right?
That's at the church, okay. 209 East Water Street in Prospect. And again, that's school-age children, and it is also senior citizens 16 and above. And it does not cost you a dime. Wow. So it's a good, nutritious meal. We cook right there at the church. And
a little bit of fellowship maybe, too?
Yeah, you know, whatever. Someone's always around to talk. And now on Thursdays, we usually have a little story time and stuff for the kids of some nature, games or something to that effect. So anyway, it'd be a good time to come around. And
I've went around town here. I went a couple of times to those free community meals. And, boy, I really enjoy the fellowship, you know. I mean, that, you know, before the meal's served, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, it's...
Yeah, we have we do one on Sunday nights, the first Sunday of the month, and then the Methodist Church I know does one also. They are the following week, I believe, and the Baptist and Lutheran Church. I'm not sure they're going to do it through the summer or not, mm-hmm. but we are. We're not going to every first Monday of the month, and that's open to anyone wherever they come from. And I'll tell you what, my wife does the cooking. My wife's a good cook. She did it. That was her job for many years, and she makes some stuff that she knocks it out of the park.
I was getting ready to say some of the stuff you mentioned last year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She just does some great stuff.
Like a gourmet.
Yeah, but, you know, we have pulled pork and things like that. And just really good stuff. But, you know, it's kind of good to help people out when you can and do those kind of things. Hey, you know, because something I want to talk about, a couple things tonight, is, you know, we just celebrated Memorial Day, and you and I were just having this discussion about, you know, didn't it used to be Decoration Day? And don't you remember going around and decorating your family's graves, not just soldiers and whatnot? And so I looked it up, and yeah, certainly it was Decoration Day really became huge in Appalachia. And in Appalachia, they decorated everybody's graves. They honor soldiers and the fallen, but they also family. And it's real interesting. I have some friends that their family is from West Virginia. And you know how it is down there. Everybody's buried on a hill somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're usually hard to get to.
Right.
But anyway, they happen to live now They live up by Chagrin Falls, up off Route 77. And she was telling me the other day, her husband wasn't feeling the best, but she made a round trip from her house to Buffalo, West Virginia, decorated all the graves in the cemetery, and shot back home and was home by that evening. 400 and some miles round trip. But they will not miss that opportunity to decorate family graves. And I go every year. My wife and I make sure that we go.
I was getting ready to say, is that a big tradition for you guys?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Shirley and I go, and we went and did her parents' graves. They're in Alton Cemetery down on the west, far west side of Columbus by Galloway. Okay. And we went there, and then we went to my parents, which are in Union Cemetery over by Riverside Hospital. And then we usually try to make it up to Sunbury, where my grandparents are. Okay. Her whole family's in the same place back all the way from when they immigrated here. So, I mean, that's easy with her.
Right, right. Yeah.
But, you know, it's the thing is, it's a time to think about them. It's a time to honor them. You know, we realize that in soul and spirit, they're not there. Right. But it is a place of memorial. And, you know, in the Bible even talked about where people were buried. Abraham had a burial place. Even when Jacob died, you know, Jacob was taken and buried in the promised land, even though they hadn't gone there yet, and they had permission to go with basically an Egyptian entourage that took Jacob into the promised land to be buried, because that was that part they had not reached there yet. They still had all that leaving of Egypt and 40 years to wander around in the desert before they ended up there. But yeah, it's important, I think, to remember people. But you know, one thing that stands out to me that I think is very, very sad, I can remember when I used to go as a teenager to my father's grave, because he died when I was a young teenager, and the cemeteries were packed, just packed. And I went there on Saturday this year. Saturday morning we went, and Union Cemetery is great. They put out portable restrooms because they know there's going to be more people there, and they make sure all the water's working, and they try to accommodate as much as they can, have a lot of people working that day. But you know, it's interesting. In the whole section where my dad and mom are buried, there was not one other person decorating anything. And, you know, we've noticed over the last 10, 15 years, there's less and less and less. And in most cases, there's usually one family member of everyone in the family that will do that. And if it doesn't get done, if they don't do it, no one does. And it's really sad, because I'm not saying that it's the people that are buried there, they don't know the difference, honestly. But here's the thing. It's honoring them, honoring that memory, you know, going there to as a nostalgic honoring time of them and remembering those things. You know, when I went the other day with my wife, Shirley and I, before we left the cemetery where her parents were buried, you know, I stopped and we had a word of prayer, and we prayed for everyone in the family. And we did the same thing when we left my parents. It's just a time of remembering family and what's important. And, you know, it's we're finding as time goes on, people are less and less attached to family. And I think what's done a lot of it, Terry, is that we have so many families now that have multiple parents and multiple half this and half that. And there's just not the love and the closeness that we used to see in a family. And we've got to figure a way to get back to this. You know, something they did 30, 40 years ago, whatever it's been, is when they decided, the courts decided, that we would have what was called a no-fault divorce. Do you remember back when people used to want to get a divorce years ago? They had to either prove abuse, neglect, or adultery. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And somebody was in trouble mm-hmm. if that's what they did. Mm-hmm. But they would grant a divorce. And that you would have to go before a judge, and a judge would decide whether he granted the divorce. Now what we have is a no fault. You just decide one day, you know what, this isn't working. And you just go in and nobody gets hurt. We all divide things up and go our own way. And you know who's left in the wake of all this? You know, don't you? Who gets hurt the most in divorce?
The kids.
The kids do.
Yeah.
And, well, I'm tired of this guy. And then a kid gets a new parent coming in. And then they don't last, or whatever the case. Do you know how many kids today are being abused by mom or dad's girlfriend or boyfriend? And you know, parents, you know, we have a responsibility as parents to take care of our children. This is one of my pet peeves about the whole issue of, I don't want to get an abortion issue tonight, but I do want to say this, that if you're using that as a reason, as a backstop for you to go out and do whatever you want, you're in a bad place. Because the truth is, we need personal responsibility for what we do. And there are ways, even if someone's promiscuous, which I pray they're not, but if they are, that there's ways to protect themselves from being that pregnant. And that's why my argument on the whole thing, look, if you are going to do something to parent a child physically, you better be ready to take care of it. Otherwise, don't do it. You know, why is it that I can make a mistake and then kill the child? What did they do? They didn't do anything. And the point is that I'm just talking about, and that's the last I'm going to say about that. But what I'm going to say is personal responsibility, we've got to have it. And we've got to try to keep marriages together. Marriages can stay together if people will quit making it be at all about themselves and be about the person that they are married to. You know, when I got...
You think some of it is because they make hasty decisions, like they rush into it too quickly? No. Okay.
No, I don't know. I'll tell you why that is. Because if that was true, then years ago, people that were put together by families, where families would decide them, or people that got married on the fly, so to speak. You know, there's a lot of people in the generation prior to us that laugh about, you know, well, we met there, we had 3 weeks later, we were married. You talk to them, they've been married 40, 50 years. And I know with my wife and I, we got married 6 months out of high school. And that's about how long we knew each other.
Wow.
We met each other in July and got married in February. And it was a hasty, quick decision. It was, everyone said it wouldn't work. On and on it went. But see, here's the difference. And has it been easy? Absolutely not. And a lot of times it's not. But we've been married 41 years, and I don't know what I'd do if I lost her. Now, here's the thing about that, is that we made a decision that we were married. You see what I mean? There wasn't any leaving. There wasn't any if this doesn't work. It was, we are married. So when we hit a rough patch, we'd say, how do we fix this? Or, you know what, this isn't good for the kids. We need to fix this. Not, this isn't good for the kids. We need to, you know, we're doing so much. Here's the argument that blows me away. You know, we're doing more harm than good to our kids by staying together because we're fighting all the time. I've got a bright one. How about you stop fighting rather than get the divorce? You see what I mean? There's no reason for it, because when you're fighting constantly, it's because somebody's being selfish. Either one or both of you are being selfish. Either it's all about you or it's all about her. But if you were all about her and she were all about you, the fighting wouldn't be there. You see the thing?
But what decision, you know, what is it, playing on that, what decision are you making, good decisions to lead to this fight?
See, that's,
for example, is dad out drinking after work instead of coming home? You see what I'm saying? Or
exactly, dad, get your act together.
Is mom doing, you know?
Exactly.
There's contributing factors that...
But those contributing factors are all about personal decisions.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And the problem is, in the United States of America today, is we've tossed personal responsibility out the window, and we've made excuses for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any problem giving somebody a hand up. I don't have it, and we do a lot, and I do a lot. And I don't know a more compassionate church in Marion area than our church.
I was going to say, with as many people as you got, yeah, you guys deal with a lot of, yeah.
But my point is this, that you know, somebody that refuses to get out of bed and go to work just because they don't want to, somebody refuses to hold a job, somebody... I don't see why they need fed, because the reason I worked as a young person is because, well, I have to. I'm an adult now.
Right.
If I don't work, I don't eat. If I don't work, my kids don't eat. And I knew that. And yeah, they could eat. I could, but I had enough pride, and there's good pride and bad pride, but I had enough self pride about who, being a father, proud to be a father and be who I was and live in a country like America where I could be anything I wanted to be, that I went to work. And quite frankly, anyone in this country can be anything they want to be. You know, I don't care if you're illegal. I don't care if you're black, white, green, purple, or what you are. If you're illegal, fight towards citizenship and become anything you want to be. Don't fight against this country. Come in here and love it. You know, there's a lot of people that do. And, you know, this country is still the land of opportunity. But it's getting fleeting because there's a lot of people that are gaining power that don't really want to help you. And I think that a lot of times all people want to do is keep power themselves. And that's why I'm a huge advocate for term limits in Congress. Those guys get way too much power, and they feed off of it, and they're afraid of losing their power and losing their position and, quite frankly, losing their money. Because where else do you go start a job, you know, and your income, say, is $80,000 a year, or has been, or 60 or 50, and, you know, in 5 or 6 years, you're a multimillionaire. Why did that happen when your salary didn't change?
Right.
You know,
you don't have to pay for that, so you can bank all that money. You know,
that's part of it.
Yeah.
But I think that one of the biggest parts of it is it's
well, lobbyists,
grease and palms, and lobbyists.
Yeah, sure.
It's lobbyists. It's speaking engagements to the right people,
sure.
And it's kind of like speaking to the crowd, preaching to the choir. You know, Scott mentioned several times that I think is a very wise thing that he said. Scott Spears, we're talking about. And is that he said, you know, you're really not doing yourself any favors by listening to talking heads, media, whatever, that sides with everything you believe. Because, you know, I talked to a lady the other day that was telling me how she felt about something. And it was very obvious to me that she only listened to one source of news. If you listen to one source of news, you're going to get the mindset of what they want you to think. And some of the stuff she said was so inaccurate, it was unreal, but she's going to one source. Now, I'm not going to tell you whether she's going to a conservative source or a liberal source, but the point is, you know, be informed. You know, it's kind of like saying, well, I had a guy tell me the other day, you know, I've got my own, God and I are all right. Are you really? He said, I don't need to go to church. I don't need this. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need that. You know, I got news for you. You and God aren't all right, because that's not the God that's in the Bible that I know. And people have a tendency to think, well, you know, I'll make it what I want it to be, and that'll just be fine. And that's not the way that it is.
Or the one I always hear, the classic one is, well, I would go there, but I don't want them to push their religion on, you know, like if they go somewhere, you know, like a party or something. Well, I would go there, or, you know, I just don't want them to push their religion. What?
I've never
had anybody do that.
It's an excuse.
You know,
it's just like the excuse of, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites there.
Right.
Well, then quit going to Kroger. Don't go to the bar. Don't go to anywhere else because there's hypocrites everywhere
don't
we go.
Don't go to the nail salon. And, you know,
and do you expect people in the church to not be people?
Right.
They're going to make mistakes. At least they're smart enough to go somewhere to try and get healed. You know what I mean? It's like saying, I'm not going to the hospital. There's sick people there. Well, of course there's sick people there. They're there to get well. Same reason they go to church.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. But I see so many people that would rather live on excuses than get better. And as long as they have an excuse, then they don't have to put out any effort to do what's right. And or they keep a bitter spirit about, you know, my dad was religious. And I know one guy told me, you know, my dad's religious, but man, he was such a hypocrite, and he was the worst dad in the world. So does that mean God's not real? What does your dad's shortcomings have anything to do with God? Not a thing. They're his shortcomings. And people use that excuse, and we don't forgive them. And, you know, that's the whole point. You know, if we're really truly doing what we're supposed to do, we forgive people. I was listening to something on the way in here. A pastor from, you remember the couple years ago, the shooting where there were some people in an African-American Episcopal church that were having a Bible study, and this teenager walked in and just leveled them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like North Carolina or something, I think. I'm
trying to remember where that was. There's been a lot of many.
Yeah, like North or South Carolina. I'm thinking it was like one of the Carolinas or something.
But I was listening to one of the ladies' husbands talk, who was a pastor, and he said, it's all about forgiveness, forgiving that young man that did it. Lost the love of his life, but he says, we got to forgive. And, you know, that's the spirit I want to go to church for. And, people don't reject the church, Terry. They reject God.
Ah.
Think about that. They do not reject the church. They reject God because they don't want to go to church because they'll hear about God. And then they're going to feel like they got to change something and they don't want to.
I see.
Or they want God on their own terms. Who wants a God that's going to be so wishy-washy you can have him on your own terms? Now think about that.
Yeah.
But
when they're sick and in the hospital, you know, or whatever.
Could you imagine going up, being engaged to a lady? Say you had someone you really, really thought the world of. And
sure.
You wanted them to love you. Now, this is interesting.
Okay.
Say that you were going to dating a lady and just madly in love with her, and you were just bonding really well. And you wanted her to love you forever,
mm-hmm.
with all of her heart, be willing to die for you if need be there at your beck and call, on and on and on it goes. It's just everything. I mean, just make everything about you, for her to make everything about you. But what you wanted her to accept from you was you were going to show up one day a week. You were going to go out and mess around with anyone you wanted to mess around with, have all kinds of extramarital affairs out there with other lovers. You really weren't going to give her much of the time of day unless you needed something. Does that make any sense at all?
Mm.
It doesn't. No. That's exactly what people do with God. They want God to be there. They want him to be their Santa Claus. They want him to be their great physician and heal them. They want him to be their caretaker in eternity. But they just give him the time of day when they feel like it, or maybe, yeah, once a year I'll stop in and see you, or maybe I don't even want to know anything about you. I don't want to read your family history. I don't want to know anything about that because I really don't care about you in the first place. I just want you to be there when I need you. I don't want a God like that. And God, and what people have to understand is God does not want a person like that. And that's what they need to understand.
It's a two-way street, yeah.
See, God doesn't choose to send anybody to eternity without him. People always say, what kind of a God would send someone to hell? God doesn't send anyone to hell. God gives people a choice. People choose to reject God. And, you know, quite frankly, if somebody can create the universe, if a being, our God, can create a universe and do the things he's done, and I've told you before my feelings on, please, people out there, open your eyes and start it square in the middle of the road. Don't go in with any preconceived thoughts if you don't believe in God or you don't believe in creation, and really investigate. You will be blown away by what you'll find if you go in that way. But if God can create a universe and do those things, I think I better listen to him. And I'm not big enough to stand up to him and to tell him no. That's just the honest truth. You know, once you accept the fact that God's bigger than you and God always wins and it's his way or the highway, life becomes so much easier because you quit bucking the system all the time. You still, I know very few people that have the freedom I do. I have great freedom. I'm comfortable in my own skin. It's because God tells me that I'm the one that made you. I'm the one that is going to assess you, and you need to worry about what I think of you, not other people. But because of that, because you do love God and accept him, you know, you want to be like Jesus and be kind and compassionate and love other people, which I do. But if someone doesn't like what I have to say or like me, it's no skin off my nose. I wish they would. I feel bad that they don't. But it's not like I've got to go out there and please people. I do not drive a brand new vehicle. I have never, ever bought a brand new vehicle in my life. You know why? Who do I need to impress? Honestly. I rarely buy clothes at a regular clothing store. I don't need to impress anyone. it's just the way it is. I mean, I'd rather be comfortable with God. It's like that old saying. I'd rather be judged by the world and loved by God than loved by the world and judged by God. Now think about that a minute. World can love you all day long. What happens if God rejects you because of that? Wouldn't you rather be rejected by a world and loved by a God? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. See, when you're loved by God and you realize that you can spend time in solitude, you can spend time away from other people, you don't have to be out there. People always want to have their egos stroked. And they go to places where, you remember the Cheers song, where everybody knows your name. You got to go in there where everybody, hey, how's it going? You know, here comes
Norm,
and you know, that kind of thing, you know. Yeah. You know, there's people that go to those places every night after work. Excuse me. And one of the reasons I know that is I used to do it years ago. And, these are my people. No, they weren't. They were just in the same crummy boat I was in. Because the truth of the matter was, when I got my act together, none of them wanted anything to do with me. Now, if they were really my friends, don't you think they'd have been happy for me?
Sure.
Yeah, excuse me, man.
Yeah.
I got allergies. Got over a cold and the allergies are hanging on.
Allergies kicking in, yeah. Yeah, it's so weird you say, because I was in that same boat too. I mean, at the time you think, well, this is great, but then you look back and you're like, what was I thinking? You know, I mean.
Do you know some of my best friends back then are dead now, and it's really sad. It's really sad because they're not very old.
Yeah.
They're barely old enough to be grandparents, let alone be dead.
Yeah.
And it was that lifestyle that got a hold of them. They just never let it go.
Yeah.
And you feel bad for them. You see them today, and you're like, whoa, they look rough, you know?
Yeah.
And God offers us a life of satisfaction, a life of joy, a life of all those things. We just got to be willing to reach out and touch it. And you know, no one, people say, oh, Pastor, you don't know how far I've fallen or what I've done. He says it doesn't matter. He says, come unto me, all you are who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he says. We love him because he first loved us. He says, you know, come as filthy as you are, I'll clean you up. You don't got to clean up to come to church. Come to church so the Lord can clean you up. And I don't stand up there and tell anybody what to do. I preach a message and I tell you what God says, and you can take it or leave it. No one's judging you, you know what I mean? But you do have to understand that God has things he set in standard, God's standard. And here's the thing. People always say, well, you know, God really didn't mean that, or, you know, the Bible's not really true. I would challenge somebody to do something. To find one thing that God has set into place as a statute and a way that we're supposed to live. Now, I must caution you. I'm talking about in our current New Testament church. There were some things in the Old Testament law that, well, within the Old Testament law itself and within the rules that were given to Hebrews and things they were to do that were for their own protection or own good that we don't live in today. We live in an age of grace. We're not still sacrificing lambs on an altar and bullocks. Jesus was the final sacrifice that covered the sin of the world. But the things that he set into play, if you live by them, it's very interesting the things you won't run into. You know, our financial system, when operated the way the Bible says so, works great. People say the Bible has no compassion. Well, that's kind of interesting because our laws, as far as our legalities and our financial laws, like bankruptcy laws and those are all pulled straight out of the Bible. You know, they had the year of Jubilee that was set into place, and where people get their land back and were taken away from, debts were freed, and people got their property back, and you can only let someone owe you for so long. All those kind of things were in place, and we use those today. Our bankruptcy laws mirror Scripture, and they work for people because God knew people needed a break. And when we look at laws like how a man's to be with his wife and treat his wife. You know what? No disease comes out of that. Guess what? No disease there, folks. When we look at how people are to take care of family, guess what? There's no one on the street and no nursing homes because family took care of those people. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. How we're to treat someone better than we treat our neighbor better than ourselves. Who's going to fight with a neighbor that treats you better than you treat? All these things come together and people say, well, the Bible's just too stiff to follow. And no, it's not. You choose to do what's wrong. I mean, one thing as a pastor over the years I've seen is that I cannot find a situation where there's something that goes against Scripture and that Satan says is good. It may look good, it may taste good, it may smell good for a season, but it is going to come back and bite you hard. That's what it does. What do you mean, Pastor? You know, what's going on with, you know, all the, you know, the Bible tells us to keep ourselves pure until we're married. Now, quite frankly, in today's society, people will laugh at you over that. But do you know how it cheapens a woman to use her? Like a piece of meat? Whether she admits it or not. You know, women are meant to be held up as something special and beautiful. And I know to a lot of days, I don't want to be that. Well, guess what? You're going to, you know, that's why you're getting treated the way you are today, because you have not wanted to be who you were made to be. And if we look at society today, men are in trouble. Men are they're not respecting women in the way they used to. Do you realize for all the talk of the abusive men of the 40s, 50s, and 60s that put their wife under their thumb and beat on, do you know that the domestic abuse in this country has quadrupled since then? So what's going on? Why is that? Families are a mess. Families have fallen apart. All this freedom that we've got is not freedom. You know, anyone that's ever raised children knows the best children are raised when they have boundaries. Well, the best adults behave when they have boundaries too. You see what I mean? You know, I wouldn't want to be married to someone that has played the field for 4 or 5 years. What am I, just to stop along the way? When are they going to get tired with me? You know what I mean? There's a certain element about respecting someone and waiting on them that is special. And we're taking that away. Our kids are growing up too fast. They're seeing too many things. Terry, they don't have any hope, brother. And that's proven by the amount of teen suicides. Do you know, I heard this statistic yesterday. It blew me away. The number one cause of death of children from ages 14 to 18 in the United States is suicide.
Wow.
More than cancer, more than car accidents, more than generic accidents, more than sickness, disabilities, all combined, the number one killer of kids 14 to 18 is suicide in this country. Where's the hope? If we're doing so well in this modern way of thinking, what is happening to our young people? They have no hope. And their hope is because they don't. You see, when I mess up, Terry, I know that I have God that's going to be there for me. And I believe that from the bottom of my heart. And I've known that in my entire life. Even when I was going through difficult things, some things were almost unbearable. I have to tell you, they were. But I knew, you know, I'll get out of this. God's not going to let this happen to me. I've got to trust Him to hold me. You know, even in the worst situation, I got to trust Him to be there. And you take young people today, they don't know who God is. You know, God is usually that word that's followed by damn. Honestly, that's where they usually heard of the word God, in their family and everywhere else. And, you know, the potty mouths today, everywhere, this acceptable and just the way it is, it makes me ill.
Well, what's so amazing is the young people that's using that term, you know.
I was in a store. This will freak you out. I was in a store in a little town of Richwood.
Okay.
And a lady came in who sat on the school board of a local school board. She knew exactly who I was and stood there talking like a sailor in front of me. And it just blew me away. I thought, what in the world has happened to our society? I mean, talking loud enough that it's almost like she wanted me to hear what she was saying, yeah. Talking to this other person. Using language that I would never use myself. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, Terry. Using language I didn't use when I wasn't walking with Christ. When I was living in the world, I didn't use language like she was using. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. And you wonder why our schools are in the situation and the shape they're in. How sad
is it? It starts at the top.
Yeah. And we have to have accountability.
Yeah.
We surely do. You know, but there's something else we have to have that's real important. And I want everyone to think about this as we wind the show down tonight. Is there's something that God has given us the ability to do that will take so much burden and heaviness off of you. Of course, we have the fact that he died on the cross for our sin. And all we have to do is say, Lord, I accept your free gift of saving me from this, and I want to love you and walk with you and be my Savior. That's it. How hard is that? But there's something he says about forgiveness. A few things, and I want to read some of these. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord gave you.
Mm.
Doesn't give us much reason to hold grudges, does it?
Mm-mm.
We were talking about a guy earlier that held real bad grudges, and I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Here's another one. 14, verse 14 of Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others for their sins, your Father won't forgive yours. What's he telling you? Here's what he's telling you. That if you truly have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, he's going to give you the heart of a forgiver.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't have it in your heart to forgive people, you've never accepted him to begin with because he's not dwelling in you and giving you a heart of forgiveness. Luke 17:3-4. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times a day, and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Doesn't say anything about, well, he did it before, he did it again, I'm not going to forgive him.
Yeah.
Ephesians 4:31-32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And this is why sometimes when I hear people calling themselves reverend this and that, and they're just bitter and nasty and don't show any forgiveness, I'm thinking, whoa, where are you really coming from? Who's your master?
Is that a way for a pastor to, you know, you're thinking, is that...
I mean, there's righteous indignation. There's righteous anger over something evil.
Right.
But it's another thing when you just have this grievance.
That's what I'm saying. If it's something that's not related to that, I mean,
I mean, if you can't get over Donald Trump and you can't start paying for him, brother, you got a problem. Or praying for him, you got a problem. Yeah, you know, the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. It truly does. It also says to pray for those who spitefully use us. So if you're calling yourself a Christian and all you're doing is hammer on this same guy all the time, you better get down on your knees. You see what I mean? Same goes when we had Barack Obama was in office. You better get on your knees. If you know that's where we're supposed to be, not just. You know where I'm at. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, and that's what he says. He says we need to confess, be honest about ourselves. You know, Lord, I'm not perfect. I'm laying this at your feet because only you have paid the price for what it takes to pay for this. And you did it on the cross. And he'll give us a new life, Terry. And that's where we got to come from. Nobody's perfect here. You know, nobody. We are perfected in Christ, but we all come from the same sloppy place. No one's better than anyone else. We're all born into sin, and we all need a Savior. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Doesn't make anybody better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what side of the street you're raised on. Doesn't matter how much money. Even though people want to act that way sometimes, I just snicker at them because it's silly. It's just being silly.
Yeah. Because you know when you die, it's gonna be either.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter how rich or how poor you are. You know. It's,
no. We all get buried in the same way. We come in with nothing. And hopefully we go out with everything, and that is with Jesus Christ in eternity in heaven. That's what I call going out with everything.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Terry, it's been great. I'll tell you what. Call me sometime, anybody out there. My number at the church is 740-494-2222. You can reach us at prospectccf.com. God bless you guys. Have a good night.
Take care, everybody.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP.